Good morning. Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It's great to see you all out. It's going to be an uncharacteristically warm day for the end of November, but I think we'll take it, unless you're driving a truck out in the backwoods trying to still get that deer today. It might be a little sloppy. I was out hunting with Roland. He's out hunting this morning yet, but we got stuck a couple times, so it was... You know, that's part of hunting, is going out there and just making memories and making a fool of yourself and coming home and being able to tell stories. And sometimes you have stories that you just don't repeat. That was not yesterday. I'm just recounting my past growing up hunting and that tradition. How many people here, that's your tradition? You grew up and that's kind of what you did. You went out and you were hunting. I remember I'm kind of being a little nostalgic right now instead of in church mode, but we'll get there. Growing up, I remember, I don't know, my dad could probably tell you more than I could. Pretty much as soon as I could walk and wear an orange hat, you know, I was walking in the woods with everybody, wrestling and snowball fights and all that fun stuff. And just kind of each year you kind of think about that, and you kind of think about all the memories and the tradition of being a part of family. And, you know, having that experience, and that's some of the things that, you know, around Thanksgiving that really you draw your attention to, the things that you're thankful for, the things that you are so glad that God blessed you with. And maybe, hopefully, you have some of those same memories that you can recount on time with family and friends and relationships that you know God has placed in your life to bless you. This morning, before we take up our offering, we're going to pray over it, and then Amanda's going to come up and give us a few quick announcements, and then we will move on this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. I thank you, Lord, for just the amazing this whole year, Lord. You've just blessed us with the beauty of your creation. With being able to see the handiwork of everything you have done. Lord, I thank you for the gifts and talents that you've given each and every single one of us. Lord, you've given us the ability to provide for ourselves and for our families. And you've given us provision when we ourselves couldn't. Lord, we thank you and we give you honor for providing everything for us. Lord, we know that from what you give us that we are called to give back to you, and we do that with willing and open hearts this morning. We ask that you would receive our offering, that you would bless it, and that you would multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Did everybody have a happy Thanksgiving? Some nice time with family and... Anybody eat too much turkey? Everybody's tired this morning yet from the turkey, I see. Well, I just have a few announcements this morning. Today, following the service, we're going to be doing our Deck the Halls decorating. And so I don't think it should take too long, but we're hoping to get up the Christmas tree and then get it decorated in here. And then I think maybe the kids have something going on too. Lacey's going to keep them busy, but we're going to have fun. And some ladies made some yummy smelling soups if you smelt them walking into church this morning. So there is plenty of lunch too if you're able to stay. And then in a couple of weeks, December 11th is our kids' Christmas program practice at our normal time during service at 10:30. And so the night before on the 10th, Josh and Lacey are going to be doing just a quick run through with the kids. That's going to be at 5 p.m. here at the church that Saturday, the 10th. And then the only other announcement I have is I just wanted to let you guys all know that we're going to be having a Christmas morning service here. And it's actually going to be at 10 o'clock. We moved it up just a little bit in case people had plans with family that day. We're going to do a service right at 10, just an hour-long service, so you know when you're making your plans for that day. But we're looking forward to it, and we hope that you guys can join us. Otherwise, that's all I have for today.
So it's always fun getting done with a series. Last week we just finished up our trek through James. I think it took us about a month and a half or 2 months to work through James. If you were not able to be here for any or all of that series, I would encourage you to go to our website and check it out. Go to the podcast. I'm pretty sure we have all of those messages posted. Okay. So we for sure got 2 months worth out of it. And I hope you all were able to get something out of the study of James. I know it was really, really kind of cool. As I'm just kind of looking back over that study, we had Mark Futter, a missionary to Colombia, come in and share with us in the middle of that series. And what was really awesome is I don't communicate with our missionaries to tell them, you know, hey, this is what we're studying. This is something you can talk about. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in directing what somebody else should talk about. I let God orchestrate all of that. But the amazing thing is that when he came, Mark touched on, his message was actually really good. If you just trust me on this one, even if you were here, go back and listen to that message again, because it was very powerful. It was very prophetic. And he spoke to he really challenged us on the name of our church and what that means and how that needs to be taken very seriously by us as attenders of River of Hope. And he challenged us to be the river. And I really encourage you to go back and listen to that message. But in that message, he jumped into James chapter 4, which was actually the chapter we were moving into a week after. And the awesome part, maybe you're not connecting the dots yet. I didn't tell Mark that we were in James or studying James. He and his Holy Spirit leading went there on his own. And so that's the characteristic that I love seeing through the people we have coming here. Because no matter what we're working through and what we're talking about, it seems like God always merges everything together so that it continues to work and build upon itself. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that series again. Maybe you can pull something new out of each week. This morning, honestly, wrapping up with this series, it's always kind of fun yet hard to figure out where you're going next. You know, I'm not one of these guys that plans 6 months in advance. If you know me at all, 6 days is doing pretty good. So, and that's usually because 5 of them are already planned out with work. So, that's kind of how I operate. Ask my wife, she will tell you that it drives her absolutely nuts. This morning, I'm going to talk out of Jeremiah chapter 18. And this may end up being a very short message, and that's not in my control. We're going to see where the Holy Spirit takes this one. I want to talk a little bit about my heart and my vision for River of Hope. But in doing that, I'm going to lead into that with Jeremiah chapter 18. We are going to read Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. And I'll tell you where we're going to stop because I'm not sure yet. So Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is verse 6. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. I'm gonna stop right there for now. Let's pray before we continue on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message that you're bringing to me this morning, Lord. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would speak through me, that you would communicate clearly, that you would allow me to speak
with clarity, that I can be easily understood this morning, and that the words that come from my mouth would be straight from your heart, that there would be no confusion, that there would be no stray thoughts today, Lord, that you would help us to focus, to hear your word, and the truth that we are trying to communicate this morning. We thank you, Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen. I want to lead off. Honestly, I was flipping through my Bible this morning because I was still, I'm telling you, this drives her nuts. Absolutely nuts. I asked her this morning, I said, so what are you preaching on? I asked her that because I was trying to talk her into preaching, but that doesn't work very well sometimes. And she just kind of looks at me and goes, you're crazy. And I am, but here's what I believe is happening. I believe that a lot of times I come into situations empty. Not empty of words, not empty of knowledge, but maybe in direction. And I intend and always try to allow the Holy Spirit to lead where our messages are going, where our series are going, where the work of this ministry is going. And I came to Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning about 20 minutes ago. So I am not speaking, being completely studied up this morning, but I am being as raw and as honest as I possibly can. If there's one thing that's consistent out of ministry here at River of Hope, is that there's really nothing consistent. We are always changing. We are always moving. We are always trying to do what we see fit and what we feel led to be doing. That's why we don't have... That's why from year to year, you don't always see these recurring events, because we're not structured that way. We lead as we feel God leads us to move. And I'm reading out of Jeremiah chapter 18 because I want to address the idea of things being fit into a mold. And I'm not saying that there's this mass belief out there that the church needs to be the same from one to the next. But what I want to understand this morning is this word that Jeremiah is delivering to Israel. I'm going to read it again this morning. In Jeremiah 18, I'm going to skip around a little bit. So in verse 3, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. First of all, I don't know a church yet that has begun and found itself to be perfect in everything it does. Meaning that there are phases in ministry, there are phases in operation, there are phases in your own Christian life. I'm not just trying to keep this on us as a church. I'm trying to bring this down to a personal level as well. We make mistakes, right? We end up being marred in some form or another, usually through mistakes that we ourselves make or decisions that just didn't work out the way we had hoped. But the beauty of this passage is Jeremiah is really telling this people is, you know what? God is willing to do with you whatever he sees fit. So he'll take that messed up spot, he'll take that marred creation, and he'll just reform it to what he sees best. Now, does that mean that we're going to go through life without making mistakes? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that we're going to go through this process of leading a church without making mistakes? Or I'm not even saying that we're making a bunch of mistakes, but that we aren't leading the way maybe you see fit. The beauty of this is that in all things, we need to trust that God is willing and able to take everything from your own personal life to the ministry that we run as a church and to form it best as he sees fit. What that means, have you ever been into a pottery store? Or maybe one of those places, I know there's a few around where you can go into a kind of a store, right? And you can paint on preformed pottery and you can kind of make your own thing. Or maybe in school, I don't know, it's probably phasing out to some degree. Actually, no, it's not, because I see Zach and Caleb bringing home these crazy creations. All your parents that have kids, you know, in kind of mid-elementary school, you get these crazy things, and you're like, what is that? They usually have an explanation, but you kind of understand that there's always a process in the way things are formed. Then the word of the Lord, this is verse 5, came to me, to Jeremiah. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? So if there's any part of us that believes that we are beyond repair, that's false. It's a lie. If there's any point in the leadership of our ministry where we believe, you know what, we really screwed up, there's nothing we can do to fix that. Well, maybe there's not with that particular situation, but God is always working and he is always able to reshape and redirect as he sees fit. Now, I don't know where, I honestly don't know where this is going this morning, other than we need to trust in what God is doing. We need to trust in the steps that we are being led on. And we need to know that even if we do make a mistake, that it is repairable and that it can be corrected. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Can I not take that marred form and that shape and make it into the perfect masterpiece that I've intended for it to be? There's been some conversation. I'm kind of being raw and real with you for a moment. There's been a little bit of conversation about how we've done ministry and how some people think it should look, and why isn't it done this way and why isn't it done that way. And there's a, if you want to know my heart in ministry, it is that we need to continually build a strong foundation in each and every one of our lives. Now, we all come from different experiences and different backgrounds. We all are at different places in our lives and in our faith journey, whether it's, you know, beginning new or you're reconnecting with God and you're beginning to grow again. The thing is, we need to have a solid foundation in our faith that God can continue to build upon. And as a church, as a ministry, I realize that there are so many varying and different degrees of our faith journey represented here. And in knowing that, and in following what I feel the Holy Spirit has led best, is that we're going to start at the very foundation of faith. We're not going to jump into the deepest subjects and the heaviest areas that we could see in the scriptures, and we're not going to expect the Spirit to bestow powerful and crazy gifts upon us when we don't have a foundation of faith that can operate in those giftings in the way God intended it to be. Now, I believe that there are a lot of people here, whether they're here today or not, that have a very strong call on their life. It could be for right here in Medford. It could be for, you know, I don't even honestly know. But what I believe is that God expects all of us to be receiving and building that solid foundation of our faith. Because during our journey of our call, our foundation that we build upon is the only thing that really keeps us moving at times. Because there are plenty of times when we come up against a challenge or we come up against an attack that really just about knocks you right over. And if we don't have that solid foundation in our faith built and established, that we can trust in what God has called us to, that we can trust in what God has offered us, we fall down and we fail very easily. I do believe that our church is called to continue to grow and to continue to impact the community around us. And I could safely say that you do as well. I can say that because of visitors that come in each and every week. That tells me that something is happening that is either you are inviting people, which is amazing, or they are seeing something happening and going, I just need to check that out and see what's happening there. Either way, it's based on something that God is doing within this community, within this congregation, and within your life. I'm not very good at preparing mission statements. But what we have kind of come up with is as leadership for kind of the mission, if we were to sum up the mission of this church in a very short, easy to remember, and repeatable way, it's to make Jesus known. To make Jesus known. That is short, it's easy, it is repeatable. But if we don't understand why we're trying to make Jesus known, there's kind of a fundamental issue with that line of thought. Because there are plenty of people trying to make Jesus known, but doing it in a light, saying, you know what, he never existed, or yeah, he was a good guy, and that was it. But the foundation of our faith is that we believe that Jesus not only did exist, but he was the Son of God. And being the Son of God, he was born into this world perfect. So it was God in human form, being Jesus. As we study through a lot of the New Testament in our sermons and in our weekly studies, we are really studying the life of Jesus Christ. The ministry of Jesus Christ, that who we are to be modeled after. And there are many times throughout the ministry of Jesus where he is calling out people. Whether it's, a lot of times it's religious leaders. So it's teachers of the law. And he's calling them out. He's saying, you know what, you got it all wrong. The law doesn't matter. What matters is your faith. And if you can't see it right in front of you, I'm talking from the perspective of Jesus. If you can't see faith and love right in front of you, there's an issue. We can get so tied up in the laws. And the law is even written in Scripture that we can miss the point of salvation itself. Continuing on with a little bit of the heart, and John and Travis are both here. They're both on our advisory team. It's basically our board of elders. We are a district supervised church. I'll give you a little bit of the governance real quick. We're district supervised, meaning that we have an operations board or a governance board that is not locally within the church. So that means that when we have to make financial decisions, when we have to decide to put a new roof on the church or to, you know, to do the parking lot, we have to take that expense to our district. Our district had asked me a couple, probably, what is it, about a year and a half now? Year and a half, 2 years? To find some people within the church that I trusted that could help make decisions and help lead on a local level. And we have three guys locally now. We have John and Travis and Roland, who's not here this morning, who continually, they meet with me on a month-to-month basis. And those meetings are, you know, we cover finances, we cover ministries within the church, we cover pretty much the whole of what this church does. So when we start talking about ministries that we're doing, when we start talking about the vision that we have for this church, it is not necessarily just myself saying, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. We have many advisors who speak into what we do. That's scriptural. I wanted you to know that because there are times in life when you kind of start to wonder who's running the show and who's making the decisions. And if we start to think and isolate it down to one single person, we can kind of begin to resent things. And we can kind of say, you know, I don't agree with how that's happening, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. But what you need to understand is that as a group, we address topics, we address situations, and we come to the best, prayerful, considerate, and scripturally sound decision that we can. But this morning, I really want to drive home this idea that no matter where you feel you're at in your own walk, in your own personal life, Jesus speaking through Jeremiah, can I not do what this potter has done? Can I not take and reshape and make perfect the mess that I have in front of me? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. I'm kind of challenging a mindset this morning. If we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and is who the Word of God says he is, and that he lived a perfect life, sinless life, and that he took the weight of our sin and the weight of our shame on himself and died on the cross, and he rose again. If we believe that to be true, that is the foundation of our faith, is believing that in Jesus Christ and going through that process, that he defeated Satan, that he defeated the power of hell over our lives. If we believe that to be true, then we also need to believe that no matter what situation we are in our life, that God is and will. He is and will do what he says he will do through Jeremiah. That he is that potter, that he is consistently and constantly shaping and molding us throughout all of our journey. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I've shared through some of my own past experiences that going through some of the hardest times and some of the hardest struggles is what shapes character within us. Right? And that kind of forges something within us and builds a structure within us to continue to move on. And through some of the hardest things we've gone through, some of the deepest pains and the hardest struggles often are used by God the more we follow him. So When Mark was here talking about the river and about our sign, he was relating to us that we have the ability to flow with the working of the Holy Spirit, to be cleansed by the river coming from our source, which is Jesus. This is all kind of metaphorical in thought. We don't literally have a river of water flowing from our cross. Obviously, if you did, you'd see it. In a spiritual sense, we are tapped into the source of the river being Jesus Christ. Jesus being the Son of God is God. He has the only means of cleansing us, of removing the sin in our life, the the evil that continues to overtake us at times. And if we're not willing to allow that to happen, if we're not willing to express that happening to those around us, and just as Brother Mark shared a couple weeks ago, we begin to dam up that river. We begin to kind of become self-contained. We need to allow that to flow from us. We need to be willing to express our faith to those around us. I think all through James and even through today, we've been addressing foundational principles in our faith journey. The way we talk, the way we think, the weight of our words, the impact that we have in others around us and how they see Jesus. We need to be mindful of that day in and day out. But we also need to understand that it's a growing process. That each and every day of our walk with Christ, it's a decision and it's a struggle to make sure we're operating in God's will versus our own. What Jeremiah reminds us here is that even in that journey, even as we're moving forward and we screw up, because we will, right? That's natural. That's human nature, that we're gonna stumble, we're gonna fall. That Jesus offers us restoration. And that God is willing to take whatever mess we make, and if we give it back to him, he is willing to make it and mold it into the beautiful masterpiece as best as he sees fit. So every day along our journey of life, there is always another opportunity for us to give our life to God. The only time that opportunity is gone is when we cease to breathe and we are no more. I'm not saying that's reason to wait. But what I am saying is that right now, no matter what situation we're in our lives, we have opportunity to give it back to God right now. That even if it's just something within us that we're struggling with, we can give that back to God. There's a foundational truth as we continue on in Jeremiah 18 that I want to go through a little bit. I read it this morning already. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. That applies to each and every one of us individually as well. I'm not saying that God has this scheming plan to destroy all of us in our sinfulness. That's obviously not true throughout all of Scripture and his desire to see each and every one of us saved and restored in relationship with him. But there is a foundational truth in that when we know we have fallen, or when we are called to accountability for our actions and we realize that we've screwed up, we need to come to God and repent. We need to come to, it doesn't have to be an altar. But we do have an altar here. It can be in your car on your drive to work. It can be at the side of your bed as you wake up in the morning. Whenever it is that you realize that you have something you need to correct with God, is the appropriate time for you to be on your knees and ask and call out to God for forgiveness, for restoration, for strength to continue on and to restore yourself into his will. And if at another time, this is verse 9, I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, meaning if I announce that I am going to bring someone to power and I am going to establish them as a long-lasting and powerful nation or kingdom or person, that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted. And if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. This is a kind of a contrast in view. We've already talked about doing evil and repenting of it and God looking at that and honoring that repentance, granting forgiveness. And now we see the opposite of that, where God has this beautiful plan to bring strength, to bring a continuous power to you. We could take this to the national level if we wanted to. But if we do evil and we do not turn away from it, he also reconsiders that. It's very important that we are being very mindful of our current state and relationship with Jesus. We cannot rely on praying the prayer of salvation at one point in our life and then walk away from it, continuing thinking we're okay, we're safe, we're covered by that prayer. There needs to be a constant heart and a constant mindset of understanding that we are fallen. And it's our choice to decide to walk in his grace and his mercy or to keep stumbling and falling in our own will. I'm going to wrap up again by just reading a little bit more of Jeremiah 18 and reminding ourselves of this passage. We're going to pray, and I'm going to leave this room quiet. If you find yourself in a spot where you know that you need to talk to God, I would encourage you to use that time this morning. There's time now between the end of service to when we're going to do anything that's planned, that we will leave it quiet. We can pray. We can come to God. We can praise God in prayer. We can come to God in a quiet and repentant heart. But maybe it's time that we need God to be the potter. Maybe it's time that we recognize and fully turn our life over and say, God, I've made a mess. I need you to fix it. Don't get this confused. This is not necessarily some deep and dark hidden thing within your life that still needs to be restored. This could venture as simple as thoughts you've had about coworker or your kids, I don't know. The idea is we need to restore our hearts and our minds back to a repentant state. That we can allow God to work within us. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Just before that. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Lord God, I thank you for the word you've given Jeremiah to your people. Lord God, that knowing and understanding that you are the potter, that you've created us from the dust of the earth, and that you are willing to take and reshape us. Father God, I thank you for the challenge as well, that we need to be repentant, that you are willing to bring joy and good into a hard situation. Lord God, I also thank you for the thought that even if we are called to high places and called to strong positions and leadership, but we turn against you, Lord, that we are asking for trouble. That you would restore in us a repentant heart, a heart and a mind that realizes that we need you each and every day. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to recognize the true weight of our shortcomings, the true weight of the sin that still reigns within us at times. That we would come to your feet to be cleansed and to be restored. That you, Holy Spirit, would continue to work in and through us. That you would give gifts as we are ready to receive them. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.